All right, tonight let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're just going to look at two words, flee and follow. Flee and follow. The Bible tells us some things we need to flee, the believers in Christ, some things we need to follow. And as we go through this list, I think it will become evident that many times many believers in this day and age are too busy following the things they're supposed to flee and fleeing the things they're supposed to follow. So let's just give ourselves a refresher on what it is we're supposed to be following and what it is we're supposed to be fleeing. The first thing we see is the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, that we, as believers in Christ, are to flee fornication. Let's start in verse number 12. The Bible says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Thessalonians 4 also, verses 3 through 7. We are to flee fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." In this day and age, it is getting more difficult to flee fornication, because it is being rammed down our throats almost everywhere we turn. It has become pathetic. It is a constant battle. As a man, I can stand before you and tell you it is a constant battle to flee fornication in this sex-crazed nation that we live in. It is everywhere. And I will tell you personally that it is very, very discouraging to me when I come to the house of God and I have to fight that battle while I'm sitting here trying to focus on God and His Word, and there are people who will come in here dressed like they're walking the streets. I don't have to do that here. I shouldn't have to fight that here. Yet, many times I do. To those of you ladies who try to dress modestly, thank you very much. Thank you. It is a huge blessing. It is huge. However, that does not give us an excuse, as Pastor just said a few moments ago, to roll over and give up. It may be everywhere you look. It may be everywhere you turn. But you still fight it and you flee when you can. Flee fornication. And if you'll recall, the Bible makes it clear that God will make a way of escape. Flee fornication. It's after us in this day. We don't need to open the door to it. We don't need to give it help. Flee fornication. Don't go putting yourself in positions where you're going to end up in a problem. That's too late. The key is don't avoid the sin, avoid the temptation. Avoid the temptation. Because if you are not aware and you get to the temptation, it's over. Flee fornication. Yet how many people who claim the name of Christ see absolutely nothing wrong with it and pursue it and follow it when they're supposed to flee it? Flee fornication. The next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Flee idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. Paul says here, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul makes it clear that idolatry is covetousness. You may be sitting there saying, I don't have a problem with that because I don't worship idols. I don't follow those false gods. No, we're talking about covetousness because that's what the Bible defines it as. Idolatry and covetousness, same thing. Are you fleeing it or are you following it? Again, this economy is almost built on the fact that there have been companies and people who have convinced everyone that they have to have their product when 90% of us don't need 90% of what they're selling us. So, are we fleeing idolatry? What is guiding our life? What is running our life? The things we think we have to have and can't live without, or the Word of God, where Jesus made it clear, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is it that's really guiding our life? Can we step back and look at that and see, am I guilty of covetousness? Am I living my life based on what I want instead of what God said? Flee idolatry. Ephesians chapter 5. Flee covetousness. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5. He tells us in verse 1 to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In verse 3 he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, there it is, covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Flee idolatry. If you go to Revelation 18, here's a passage we need to remember, especially with things that have been going on this last 6 months. Revelation chapter 18. We need to remember that this world system that seems to be having its way and doing what it wants is on limited time. In chapter 18, verse 1 says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, verse 4, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Come out of her, my people. This is not the time for us as believers in Christ to be running around guiding our lives by our wants. Flee idolatry. Flee covetousness. It's time to start separating ourselves from the sin-cursed world. Not living like hermits on a mountain, but living godly lives that are a witness for Jesus Christ. That is the one thing this world desperately needs the most. Even if they don't want it, they still need it. Flee idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. We see also that we are to flee false doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Paul is telling Timothy to teach and exhort the right things. And in verse 3 he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Flee false doctrine. How many people are still trying to get their preaching from television? Stop it. Flee false doctrine. Well, there may be some good programs. I'm not saying there aren't good ones. I'm saying you're going to have to search very hard to find one. Flee false doctrine. Just because you go somewhere and you feel good doesn't mean they're teaching the right thing. It is the doctrine that matters. And it is the truth that matters. Not your feelings. Not your entertainment. Not you. The truth is what matters. In this day and age, we probably will not have large groups of people flocking to hear the truth. Because you have to have a desire for that. There are too many who want the other things. But as believers in Christ, we are to flee false doctrine. Don't accept it just because other people do. Don't accept it just because this so-called preacher says so. Look in the Word of God. This is what you go by. This book. Do not be led astray by false doctrine. Flee. Do not stay somewhere where false doctrine is tolerated. Don't do it. Flee false doctrine. And one more thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Paul is talking about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And in verse number 22, he said, it's a command, flee also youthful lusts. Peter talks about that too in 1 Peter chapter 2. Flee youthful lusts. How sad is it that so many people never grow up in this generation? Nobody wants to grow up. They want to stay perpetually 16 years old. They don't want any responsibility. They don't want to try to make something of their life. They want everything handed to them so they can play the rest of their life. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Paul said, when I was a child, I understood as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things. We need to grow up. Don't fall into this trap of living like that the rest of your life. Flee the youthful lusts. It ties in with fornication. It ties in with covetousness. Look, the true secret to living a happy, satisfied life is dying to self. And if you're going to live according to your youthful lust, that will never happen. And consequently, you will never have a satisfied, happy life. Flee youthful lust. God does not give us a command without good reason. And the command to flee youthful lust is for our good. Because it's what's best. It's what is needed. Flee youthful lusts. The Bible also tells us there are things we need to follow. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, we'll read the rest of the verse. He tells us to flee youthful lusts, and then he says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, he gives us several of the same things with a little bit of difference. He says, flee these false doctrine, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Righteousness. Are we following after righteousness? Most of us would say yes, but again, can we examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Are you following after righteousness like Paul? Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul says, after listing all of his accomplishments according to the Jewish religion, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, it really wasn't a loss. That's what he's saying. I lost all these things, but I realized it wasn't a loss. It was actually good because I got Christ. So in essence, I didn't lose. I gained. We're too busy looking at what we have to give up and lose, so much so that we don't see what we gain. When you give up, the youthful less give up the things, you then realize, look what I have. Why was I worried about these? What do these have to compare to Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. But yet in our finite minds, we can't get our focus off of these, and we have so much trouble just seeing who Christ really is. Realizing and appreciating what we have in Christ, because we're too wrapped up in the tinsel. The stuff that doesn't matter. Paul says, I didn't lose. I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Are you conformable? A lot of times we think we reached a plateau and that's where we stop. I'm good. I'm close to God. I've been there for several years. No, are you still conformable? Or are you like the Play-Doh that's been left out? You just hardened up and God can't do anything with you. You need to be conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Am I following righteousness like that? Is it my goal? Is it my desire to have the righteousness of Christ? Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 16. Verse number 20. Bible's talking about judges and officers that do not wrest judgment or respect persons. He says in verse 20, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Are we following what is righteous? Are we following what is just? Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. Because it's worth it. The Bible says here, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Are we following after righteousness? How about godliness? Godliness, 3 John. You go way back to 3 John. Find Revelation and bear left a couple pages. 3 John. We need to follow after godliness. Here John says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Who are you following in your blogs on the internet? What series are you following that you just can't wait to find out what's going to happen next? Can you step back from it and look at it and say, can I reconcile this with the Word of God? Can I, if Jesus Christ was standing here next to me, would I be checking out this with Him here, even though He is there? Are we following after godliness like the Bible says? Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Titus 2. This is one of the big problems about having the attitude of, well, it doesn't matter, God's a God of love, and it's okay, and all I have to do is ask Him to forgive me, and that means I can still continue and not put any effort in trying to make my life what it should be for God. That's the problem. There's no desire. There's no following after righteousness and godliness. You are allowing your flesh to take over, your youthful lusts, and you are following them. Can we not see that? Can we not see that that's the problem? Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, the grace of God, verse 11, the bread of salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, we are to follow godliness. I mean, is it our pursuit? It's not like we've attained. Like Paul said, I'm not there, I'm not perfect, but I'm following after it. I have a thirst for God. I have a thirst for righteousness. I have a thirst for His Word. I want to see what it has. I want it to rebuke me when I need it. I want it to be like that iron that sharpens iron. I want that because I want to be conformable. I want God to be pleased with me. I want what He has for me. That's one of the things about knowing Christ as my Savior. I have a new nature, partakers of the divine nature. Is that my desire? Am I following after that? How about faith? Hebrews chapter 13. Faith, are we following after faith? You know the saying, be careful what you wish for. Lord, increase my faith. Okay. Do you understand what that may entail? Because you need to. You need to. In order for you to have your faith increased, you need to be put in a place where you can only trust God and no one else. Understand that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Have you ever read the biographies of some of these missionaries of the past? Read them if you want an example of faith. Read them if that's what you want to attain to. The faith that these men and women had is outstanding. Yet it is so simple. It's just only trust Him. That's what they did. They just took God at His word. But look at what God was able to accomplish through them. It certainly wasn't them. They'd be the first to admit it. They couldn't do anything. And that was the secret. That was the key. They stepped back and just simply trust God. Their faith. Is that the kind of faith we want? Are we pursuing after it? Or have we reached our plateau? So this is good. I'm good here. No, there never comes a place in your walk with God where you can say, I'm good here. Because God's not satisfied with that. He wants you closer. We should want to be closer. Is that our desire? Are we following after faith? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 and 9. Paul talks about, here in verse 7, he says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He says in verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. And then he says in verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us, whose faith follow. Are we pursuing after faith? Or have we become comfortable where we are? Love, 1 Corinthians 14. Are we following love? Are we striving to have the love of God? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, after chapter 13, describing true love, the love of God, it says in verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Follow after charity. Pursue it. Go after it. Make that a desire, a goal of your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Is it our desire, or are we too busy following our bitterness, our angst at someone else, our desire to gossip, our desire to spread rumors and listen to hearsay. That's not love. Which one are we following? We need to follow love. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, we'll start in verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Follow after charity. Follow after love. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul explains something here to us. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." Jesus himself said the greatest commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's important. Are we following it? Is it something we're striving after? Or is this one of the things we're fleeing? Again, remember, which one are you? Do you have it flipped around? Are you following what you're supposed to be fleeing and fleeing what you should be following? Are you following what you're supposed to? Are you fleeing what you're supposed to? We're supposed to be following love. Hebrews chapter 6, patience. Patience. Can't help it. I got a short fuse. Yes, you can. If you know Christ as your Savior, you can. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Bible says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through patience. Chapter 10 and verse 36. There's actually quite a bit about patience in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Bible says, verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Chapter 12 and verse 1, you're familiar with, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Patience. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The very first thing James tells us in his letter. Verse 2, "Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." Most of us still have a problem with that one. We don't count it joy. We think it's the worst thing that's ever happened, and it's not fair, and nobody else has to suffer like we do, and God, how could you do this to me, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. No, count it all joy. Why? Verse 3, "Knowing this," at least we should, "that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Patience is important. Chapter 5 of James. It's interesting, he starts with patience and he ends with it. James 5, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Patience. Are you following after it? Is that something you're pursuing? Is that something you are allowing God to work on in your life? Let's go back to Romans. Book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 3. Paul says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing," at least we should, "that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Patience. Are we following after it? How about peace? Hebrews chapter 12. Are you trying to make things right with someone you have a difference with, or are you doing your best to instigate it and try to keep it stirred up? Which one are you following? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, again, in the imperative, which is a command, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Follow peace. The Bible says in Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Don't dwell on what they did wrong to you. Don't do it. Follow peace. Follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Follow peace. Follow peace. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Bible says in verse 12. Well, verse 11, he says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And then he says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" I would think that would be everybody. That's what everybody really wants. Well, verse 13, "Keep thy tongue from evil." That's a full-time job. "And thy lips from speaking guile." There's your second job. Verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace." Seek peace and pursue it. Are you following after peace? Or again, are you too busy keeping things stirred up? You can't follow peace if you want to stir things up. Can't do both. And then finally, the last thing there we saw on those lists, meekness. Follow meekness. This world is not interested in following meekness. They're following pride. They want to make everything they can of themselves, or at least make it appear that they are something. Meekness is not something they're wanting to pursue. Yet that's exactly what the Bible tells us as believers in Christ. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. We're not just going to the easy books tonight. Make your work once or twice. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. Zephaniah, by the way, is not a happy book. God's judgment is pronounced. Verse number 3 of chapter 2 has good advice. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Seek meekness. Remember, the Bible makes it clear, you're going to exalt yourself, God will bring you down. It may be today, it may be next week, it may be 10 years from now. But it will happen. The way for you to be exalted is for you to abase yourself and let God lift you up. Because once again, when it comes to how high you can be lifted, you can only go so far. God's unlimited. You humble yourself, let God lift you up. Seek meekness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Are you following after? Is it your desire? Are you working to make sure that you are humble? Are you working to make sure that pride does not rear its ugly head in your life? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. You can go too far with it, yes. You can go too far with humility to where that actually becomes your badge of pride. I think we know what we're talking about there. People who are so humble that they want everyone to know about it, and they're no longer humble. They're proud of their humility. That makes a lot of sense. That's not what we're talking about. True meekness, true humility. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Every time I read that, boy, that's hard. Do you want Christ to forgive the things you've done the way you have forgiven others? Wow. There's a lot in that. There's a whole lot in that. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Meekness. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1 and verse 21. Bible says here, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Meekness is important because without it, you won't get anything from this book. If you're going to sit in front of this book with your pride and your arrogance and your critical attitude, you will get nothing. But if you want the wisdom of God, if you want God to change your life, you approach this book with humility. Watch God work in your life. See the things that jump out of this book and just go right to the heart of the issue, right to the thing that you need to be corrected, right to the place where you need the encouragement. It only comes through meekness. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I can't help but wonder that much of the world has been turned away from the gospel of Christ because they haven't seen much meekness from those who claim to be followers of Christ. So when they ask the question, or when they're presented with the gospel, it is done so in an arrogant way. It is done so in a way that is a businesslike. It is done in a way that is not caring, and it shows. I think we can all agree that if we put ourselves in the position of that person, we would come away with a bad taste in our mouth. We need to be very careful and make sure that when we have an opportunity to witness for Christ, we are meek and we have the right spirit so that God can work and the Holy Spirit can convict them and show them that they need Christ. And just possibly they may be saved. Meekness. Are we following after it? Are we following these things? Again, or do we have it flipped around? The last thing we look at that we need to follow, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. We need to follow Christ. And there's a whole lot more than just follow Christ involved in following Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Follow Christ. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. This is right after he rebukes Peter and tells Satan to get behind him. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself and take up his cross. It's repeated in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and Luke chapter 9, and verse 23. And if you go to John chapter 12 and verse 26, John 12, verse 26. Jesus says here, he says in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. In other words, if you're following what you're supposed to be fleeing, you're going to end up with nothing. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, verse 26, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If you really want to serve God, you're going to have to die to self and cut ties with the old nature and the old life. It always amazes me how so many people who want to serve God and yet will deliberately refuse to give up their sin and their old life. They have deceived themselves into thinking, I can serve God in this ministry and still engage in the sin I'm in because God's God of love. And He can still use me and I can be a great impact for Jesus Christ, blah, blah, blah. You aren't going to be worth anything to the cause of Christ. You will be a huge detriment to Jesus Christ. If you want to serve Christ, you have to follow Christ. And we just read the requirements, the prerequisite for following Christ. They're listed three times in the Gospels. If any man follow me, if he will be my disciple, let him deny himself. They can't even get the first thing right. You're not going to serve God if you don't want to deny self. You can't. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You don't serve God on your terms. You don't serve God according to your parameters. You serve God according to His. And His are listed very clearly. Die to self, take up your cross. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then back to John chapter 10. Close with these verses. Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd. He talks about how they calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. In verse 4 he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Sadly, what has happened today in most of the church is that they have flipped these verses around. They are willing to follow any voice as long as it's not Jesus Christ. It is no coincidence that Jesus is pictured outside the church in the age of Laodicea. They don't know his voice. They haven't spent any time with him. They will gladly follow. Paul talked about that with the Corinthians. He said, if anybody came into you in his own name, you would gladly receive him. I come to you in the name of Christ, and what do you give me? Nothing but trouble. You don't want it. You don't accept it. Is that where we have come today? What about you individually? Which one are you willing to follow? Are you really following Jesus Christ? Do you know his voice? Or are you following some stranger around because he just sounds good, makes you feel good, gives you happy feelings, yet you have absolutely no basis, no foundation for your life, for your faith? Whose voice are you following? Are you fleeing what you're supposed to follow? Are you fleeing who you're supposed to follow? Or are you following Jesus Christ? Verse 27 of chapter 10. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you going to follow Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Flee and follow. I hope that we don't have this flipped around backwards. But maybe there's some areas in your life that God has talked to you about and shown you. The Holy Spirit has brought some things to your mind. It said, hey, right there, you know this is true. You haven't been following what you're supposed to follow. You've been fleeing from it. Or maybe, hey, you've been following what you're supposed to flee. that doesn't work. Why don't you get it taken care of? Why don't you make things right with God? Why don't you allow yourself to be conformable once again and let God work? Let Him work. Let Him make things right. Let Him make something of your life. Allow yourself to see who Jesus Christ really is and see the things that you've been holding on to, that they're nothing but junk. They're worthless. Maybe you're listening tonight and you never accepted Christ as your Savior. The time is short. Oh, it's so short. Don't delay. Come to Christ. Repent of your sin. Ask Him to save you. And you'll find Him willing to save, ready to save. Ask Him into your heart. Find peace with God. Father in heaven, I pray You would help us. Work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be sure that the voice we're following is Your voice. Father, we can only do that by staying in Your Word, staying close to You. Help us, Father, in these perilous times that we live. Help us, Father, to flee what we're supposed to flee and to follow that which we must follow. We thank You so much that You have given us Your Word, not only given us the things that we're supposed to do, but have shown us the key to it and how we can have the victory over sin and victory over the world and the things in this life. It's through Jesus Christ. Help us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Sing just a verse. Invitation song. Go to page 381. 381.